Genesis 45. I am certainly glad I got to hear that message this morning. Oh my, what a blessing. What a blessing it was to me. The gospel. Bruce said last night, it's that good news, the glad tidings that make a man's heart dance and shout and leap for joy. It certainly does that. It does for me. I'm going to bring a message today and pray God help me on Joseph. More a type of Christ than anybody else in the scriptures, I believe, was Joseph in so many ways, but I just want to talk about one way this morning, and that was his revelation of himself to his brethren. Let me read these first 11 verses. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doeth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. You know, Joseph, here's Joseph. And there's 10 brethren stand here before him, just 10 of them. And they're standing here before Joseph, who they despised, who they rejected, whom they sold. And Joseph had revealed to them that one day they'd all be under subjection to him. And this is where the trouble started. Long before that. Now you look with me in Genesis 37. Here's where the trouble started. When here Joseph, when he was just a boy, young man, he had revealed to his brethren. They hated him for one reason, because his father loved him so. And that's what they said about our master. You being a man, make yourself one with God. You're a blasphemer. Man can't be one with God. Because you know, not only is he one with God, but you making yourself to be God. And we can't have that. We don't mind a man being in our midst. Don't mind the miracles. Don't mind in the works. Don't mind what you have to say. Just don't be God. Because if you're God, we're going to have to bow. We're going to have to worship. We're going to have to submit. Well, here we go. Down here in Genesis 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it of his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and bowed down to me." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou have dominion over us? We'll not have this man to reign over us." Huh? And oh, and they hated him yet the more for his dreams. And watch this, and for his words. For his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me, submitted to me, bowed down to me. And he told it his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on this earth? Oh, my. So you see, they hated him the more. You're going to have to bow to me. Joseph had already made this known to them. And then Joseph, if you'll look at the whole thing, he had brought them to own their guilt and inability. They said, we're guilty, and God has found out our iniquity. Well, here they are. He's brought them in front of him. They said, oh, my, God's found out our iniquity, and Joseph is sitting here. And it says here in verse 1, in the last part of verse 1, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known. Genesis 45:1, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now, who was it that Joseph revealed himself to? His brethren. His brethren. Not the Egyptians, just his brethren. Huh? And I'll tell you this much about it. No one could reveal Joseph to them but himself. Nobody, if Pharaoh said, that's Joseph, he didn't know he was his brother, was his brethren. You see, and Joseph, the only one that could make himself known to his brethren was Joseph himself. You know, there were in another place, I believe it's in 41, where it says, and he knew them, but they knew him not. Yeah. You see, Joseph knew them, but they never did know him until he made himself known to them. And ain't that what our master said when Simon Peter said, our Lord said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man? Son of Man, they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. You're a weeping prophet because you cry and you're sorrowful and all that all the time. And you carried with grief. And some say you're one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't make you see this. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you. But my Father, which is in heaven. And beloved, over in John chapter 8, it says there when the Lord Jesus was in the midst of those people and they took up stones to stone, he just hid himself. How do you hide yourself in the midst of a bunch of people? Well, that's what Christ can do. He can hide himself. And that's how many people has he hid to this service this morning? How many people has he not seen this morning? How many people hear his name mentioned and never seen? And oh, beloved, looking at him and don't see him. Ain't that right? And all that Christ is, all that he did, is hid until he reveals it. And the only people he reveals it to is his own. That's right. Only his own brethren. Ain't that right? Look with me over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you, you know, our Lord Jesus, he stood and he prayed. And he said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but hast revealed them, it has to be revealed unto babes. You know, men walk with Christ, men talk with Christ, and yet they never saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But look here in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 2. The apostle says, but we speak the wisdom of God. Jim just declared that so clearly, so gloriously, so wonderfully, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now watch this, even the hidden wisdom. Hidden. Something that's hidden means that you don't know where it's at until somebody takes and shows you where it's at. And it was hid. And this hidden wisdom, God ordained it before the world to our rejoicing, to our comfort, to our salvation. But it was hid until somebody got up and told us about this glorious mystery, and it'll be hid until God makes you see it and understand it and see it for yourself. And oh, beloved, I'm going to show you in John chapter 6. Let me show you this real quick. I just thought of this morning when I was looking at my notes. And I've got the clock going here, so we'll be all right. You know, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is hid in Christ. Hid in Christ. Men see wisdom in philosophy. They see wisdom in politics. They see wisdom in people's ability to speak. They see wisdom in science. They see wisdom in evolution. But they don't see the wisdom of God until they see it in Christ. You won't see the glory of God till you see it in Christ. You won't see the power of God till you see it in Christ. You won't see the love of God till you see it in Christ. You won't see the grace of God till you see it in Christ. You won't see the power of God till you see it in Christ. You won't see the wrath of God till you see it fulfilled in Christ. You won't see it. And oh, look what it says here in verse 36, John 6. But I said unto you, Christ talking now, that you also have seen me. You've seen me, but you don't believe. You've seen me, but you don't believe. How many times have we been told, Don, I don't believe like you do? Well, if you don't believe like we do, you believe wrong. Now, that's a fact. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that. If you don't believe in the sovereign, free, almighty, sovereign power of God in Christ, you believe a lie. Amen. And if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them to whom God, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. If it's the gospel's hid to you, it's because you don't know Christ. There ain't but one gospel. Nobody's ever been saved by a lie, a half a lie, or part of a lie, or anything other than the truth of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, you've seen me. We got Jesus here this morning. Wave your hands for him. We got Jesus here this morning. Give him a big hand clap. Jesus is here this morning. Come down the aisle. Go ahead and do it if you want to. I ain't going to. I'm going to bow down. I'm going to do obeisance. I'm going to be one of them 11 sons. I'm going to get down. Yeah. And oh, he said, oh, you see me, but watch this now. You don't believe, but now Christ is a failure then. Well, watch what it says in verse 37. All that the Father gives me. Oh, I love it. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. They didn't say anything about seeing him yet. They're coming to me. And all him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now look down verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. Now watch this. This is God's will, that everyone which seeth the Son, and it's the will of God that'll cause you to see the Son. And when you see the Son, you'll believe on him and you have everlasting life. And he'll raise you up at the last day. Oh my, but oh beloved, when men saw the Lord Jesus Christ, all they saw was a poor Galilean. So Joseph is the only one who could reveal himself to his brethren. Now back over here in Genesis 45. And this is the revelation. When Joseph revealed himself, it was also a revelation of one who was rejected. And the revelation of a guilty past. Whenever he made himself known to them, those fellas, they didn't start clapping their hands and said, Hallelujah, I see my brother. No, 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 no. They got scared teetotally to death. Huh? Look what it says there in verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. And look down the last part of the verse, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were terrified at his presence. Terrified at his presence. I mean, they understood whose presence they were in. They understood they was in the presence of a man they hated, that they despised, that they rejected, that they had their whole heart set against destroying him. And they understood, I'm Joseph. It terrified them in their hearts. What's he going to do to us? How are we going to... He's going to kill us right here. He's going to destroy us. He's got all the power here. He's got all the glory. He's got all the authority. What in the world is going to happen to us now? They were scared teetotally to death. And I tell you, until you're scared, until you're, and as Jim said, until you're in trouble, when the first thing, when you understand, when you truly understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and you'll not know yourself until you see Him. You'll know nothing about yourself till you see Him. And when you see Him, the first thing you'll see is how sinful you really are.
Amen.
That's the first thing that'll come to your heart and soul. How sinful you are. How in the world can I be in this man's presence? When Simon Peter said, "Oh Lord, we fished all night," but nevertheless, he just done it in a kind of a way that's frustrated. "Nevertheless, at your word, we'll cast down the net." And when he saw them fishes, he said, "Oh God, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." He seen that he doubted the master, questioned the master, frustrated with the master. And when he saw the glory of Christ, he just said, "Oh, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And that's the way these fellows did. What in the world is going to happen to us? And oh, they were troubled at his presence. And oh, look down in verse 4, though. And I tell you, have you ever been, when you first saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody started preaching him to you, and you started having some sense of who he is and his glory and his power and his how you sinned against him. Did it terrify you? Did it trouble you? Did it make you feel your guilt, your sin, your shame? Oh, I never forget the first view I had of the cross. I felt so ashamed. The first view I ever had Christ on his cross, I was never so ashamed. What an awful, sorry, miserable, wretched dog I was. That, oh, my soul. That Christ Jesus, that it took that man, that bleeding, broken man, to bear my sins, to take it upon himself, to become sin itself. Whatever sin is, however horrifying it is, how he became that. Oh, so ashamed. Oh, and I tell you, listen, now watch this, but it's a revelation of real kinship. He says down here in verse 4. Last part of the verse, he said, "I am Joseph, your brother." I'm not Joseph, your executioner. I'm not Joseph, your judge. I'm Joseph, your brother. Wherefore, he is not ashamed. That's one of the most glorious things I've ever read in all the Word. Two things. Christ said, "I'm not ashamed to call them brethren." Not ashamed? I'm ashamed to call myself son. But he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's my brother. He said, "Go tell my brethren that I'll go before me again. Touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my Father. Tell my brethren that I'll see him, my brethren. Not ashamed to be called his brethren." Looks at us, "I'm not ashamed, he's my brother. Not ashamed, he's my brother." Simon Peter, when he's denying me, "Not ashamed, he's my brother." And it says over in another place, he's not ashamed to be called their God. But you wouldn't have believed how he acted one time. He's not ashamed to be called our God. If he had heard what I said, he's not ashamed to be called our God. You don't believe what I've done? Oh, he's not ashamed to be called our God. Oh, he's a brother born for adversity. He's a real brother. Kinsman, kinsman, kinsman. Flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. And oh, look here in verse 5. It's a revelation of great, great grace. In verse 5. Look what he says now. "Therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." Huh? Oh my. "That ye sold hither." Don't grieve yourselves. Don't be grieved about that. Why does he say that? Don't be angry with yourselves. Because he's forgiven. Not only forgiven, but he's forgetting. I forgive you. No, just don't get it out of your mind. Don't be angry. Don't be grieved. Don't chide yourself. Don't let your heart be grieved about this. Why? Because I forget it. It's done. It's over and done with. It's finished. It's you sold me here. But I'm here because God sent me here. And oh, beloved, grace for grace. Grace upon grace He gives us. Oh, my. And He's willing to forget and willing to forgive their sin against them. And ain't you grateful? Ain't you thankful that there is forgiveness with God? He said in Psalm 130, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who should be able to stand? Well, let me tell you something. He can't mark iniquity. It ain't there. Ain't that right?
That's
right. If it ain't there, He can't mark it. So who's going to stand? Everybody ain't got a mark of iniquity against them. Who's that? I'm your brother. I'm your kinsman. And then look what He said. And oh my, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And as old Scott, Todd said one time, he said he can't remember something that don't exist. Can't remember. Why? Because they're not there. And hear what He says now. And then He says there in verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren. Now remember, he's just talking to his people. I want you to understand this. God's got a people in this world and He deals with those people. And he said, I am Joseph. And then he says, come near to me. Come near to me. You that were sometimes afar off. Aliens in your mind. Enemies by your wicked works. Come nigh, but now by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're made nigh. And watch what it says. When He says, come near to me. And watch what it says. And they came near. We don't come near until He tells us to come near. When He tells us to come near, we get, as you say, Maurice, we just hug up to Him close as we can get. Huh? Hug up to Him close as we can get. Oh, my. Ain't that so? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. And watch this. And causes to approach unto me. Huh? All that the Father shall come. Here's how the covenant of grace runs. God says, I will and they shall. That's the long and the short of it. I'll be their God, they'll be my people. I say I will, and they say they shall. I shall, and they will. There ain't no. People say, oh, you God won't force Himself on you. If He don't, you're gone, Jesse. Ain't that right?
Amen.
If He don't, you're gone, Jesse. And that's one of my favorite. That's one of my sins, Jesse. And oh, we draw near. How? We come near. We draw near. How? By a new and a living way. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter the holiest of holies itself by the Christ, by our Lord Jesus. And so it was a revelation of great grace. Forget it. I forgive you. Don't be grieved. Now look what it says down in verse 7. Here's a revelation of a great salvation. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Now listen. And to save your lives by great deliverance. Great deliverance. Great salvation. And I'll tell you something. It says God sent me. See, God had it prepared for them long before they even knew they were going to Egypt. He caused a famine to come just to get them into Egypt. That's what we're talking about. He gets you in trouble before He ever gets you to Joseph. And He sent a famine to get them down there. He had it prepared for them. In fact, God prepared. Grace goes before grace. The old timers called it, what is it called? Prevenient grace. That's grace that goes before grace. And you find that all through the scriptures. You find that in Cornelius. Grace went before grace. Grace always goes before grace. Grace goes out there and does the work so that when somebody's telling you about grace, the ground's already plowed. And the seed will go in. God hath prepared for them. It was provided for them. And how was it provided for? Through great suffering. Joseph went down there as 17-year-old and suffered all the time he was down there until God took him out of prison and set him on His throne. Huh? And he went down there to save them. It says to save you alive by great deliverance. It was an attempt to save. I'm going to try to save you. I'm going to make an effort to save you. He said, I sent ahead of you to save you. And in fact, he suffered in prison, not for anything that he'd done, but for men's hatred of him. Huh? And oh my, what a great and glorious salvation we have in Christ. And let me show you something else he does now. And he reveals when we're in Egypt now, we got to be cared for. We got to be taken care of. We can't take care of ourselves. Don't never, never think that you can take care of yourself as a believer. Can't be done. Look what he says down here now in verse 10. He reveals he has a great provision for him. And this is what he says. He says, now you're going to dwell in the land of Goshen. And I love this, and you're going to be near me. I'm going to make you live someplace real close to me. And you, not only that, but your children, your children's children. I'm even going to take care of your flocks. Boy, I'm grateful he does that. And your herds and all, and watch this, and everything you have. I'm going to take care of all of it. And there I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to nourish you. Huh? And then why is he going to do that? It says last part of verse 11, that you don't come to poverty. First of all, it says, I'm going to nourish you. Oh my, don't he feed us so well? Now I'm talking about spiritual food now. Oh, well, spiritual food. Oh, how he feeds us. He's our bread. He's our water. He's our life. And this natural man has to be fed. The spiritual man has to be fed. You know, we got to taste. As we had taste things in the natural realm, we taste grace. We've tasted that the Lord is good. We taste this. We drank this water that come out of that rock. We eat this bread which came down from heaven. And oh, beloved, he feeds us. And then he says, I'll nourish you. I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. And what? And you're going to be near me. Near me. And then he says, you're going to live in Goshen. You know, Goshen was the finest land in all of Egypt. That was the best place in Egypt. And you tell me a better place to dwell in this land of Egypt than in Christ. And here we are right in the middle of the land of Goshen here this morning. All of us, this is Goshen. This is it. We're in Egypt, but here look at this wonderful Goshen. We're among all these brethren. And oh, beloved, and I'm going to take care of you. You're going to dwell in the land of best land in Egypt. And beloved, believers, God's people, God's elect, sinners saved by the grace of God, we have the best part. We have the best part. We have Christ. We've got all that he is. We've got all that he did. We've got him himself. We've got him to eat. We got his flesh to eat, his blood to drink. And we have the best. We got his robe of righteousness. We got his divine nature. We got Christ in us. We have Christ. We have his promise. We have his righteousness. We have his blood. So let the Egyptians have all the rest of it. And they're welcome to it. Huh? And then he says, I'm doing this lest you come to poverty. He ain't going to let us get poor. He ain't going to let us get poor. He ain't going to let us get poor. Oh, no. You can't be poor if you got Christ. How are you going to be poor if you got Christ? Because Jim said he didn't have two dimes to rub together. But he had Christ. He had a place to worship. Oh, and then look what he says here in verse 15. He assures him that he's going to accept him. In verse 15 down here in Genesis 45. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren. Kissed them all. Oh my, what in the world does a kiss mean? It means that he loves you. Oh, you greet the brethren with the holy kiss. But I greet you, I kiss you on the cheek, but I'm going to kiss my wife because I love her right there. Kiss her good. And he kissed all his brethren. He grabs them, and I mean when he kisses you, kisses me with the kisses of his mouth. Yes. Huh? That tells us, oh, I love you. I forgive you. I'll kiss away your tears. I'll kiss away your sorrows.
I'll kiss away your grief. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know I accept you. And he kissed him. Oh, Joseph, he got off his throne to kiss them. Got off his throne to kiss them. And then it says there he wept. And our Lord Jesus, only time he ever wept was when he's seen men in their miserable condition. And oh my, and I tell you something, beloved, now watch this. It was Joseph who kissed them, not the brethren who kissed him. He kisses us. He kisses us. It was the father who met the prodigal and kissed the prodigal, not the prodigal who run up there and kissed the father. And then look what happens after they kissed him, after he kissed them. It says there in the last part of verse 15, and after that his brethren talked with him. When he kisses you, he kisses you, and then you'll talk to him. Oh, he loves me. He's accepted me. I'm going to talk to him now. I can say something now. They hadn't opened their mouth yet. But oh, they felt the assurance. They felt the glow. Oh, they felt the acceptance, the forgiveness. And they said, oh, now I'm Master, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. Oh, Lord Jesus, how blessed you are. Oh, thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming to me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for getting me up in my right mind. Thank you for letting me go to bed with food in my belly. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If we began to number up his mercies, where are we going to start? Huh? Oh, my. They talked to him after the kiss. After the kiss. And then look what it says here. Now, his Joseph's joy over seeing his brethren. This is the thing. Joseph was joyful over seeing his brethren. He endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. It says down in verse 16, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Oh, the fame was heard, and it pleased him. Joy was everywhere. And beloved, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Joy in the presence of the Father. Joy in the presence of their angels over one sinner that repented. And I tell you, where else there's joy when we see somebody come to Christ? Right here. I could not tell you the times, and I know you all have too, when somebody, you get through preaching, somebody stands up and say, the Lord's made himself known to me. The Lord revealed himself to me. Preacher, I want to tell you that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do, oh my, when that happens, everybody just starts weeping. Everybody starts rejoicing. Everybody starts blessing God. Everybody starts running over there, hugging them and kissing them and blessing God for them. Oh my, don't we rejoice like that? And let me show you this quickly. They have a message revealed to them and they got something to say down here in verse 9. Oh, Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. He said here in verse 9, haste ye now and go up to my father. Go to my family and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all of Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not. Tarry not. And oh, beloved, they had a message. Haste and go up and say. They had something to say. It's like that woman at the well. She threw her water pot away and she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. That Gadarene maniac, he said, Master, I'm going to follow you. He said, oh, no, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to go home. I want you to go home and tell everybody what great things the Lord's done for you. Right? And now, what is he going to tell? What are they going to say now? What is he going to say when they get down there? Look down in verse 25. What are they going to say now? And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, and this is the first thing they had to say, Joseph is yet alive. As far as Jacob was concerned, he's dead. As far as all the brethren was concerned, he was dead. They didn't know where he was. Didn't know he was alive, didn't know anything about him until he made himself known. And the first thing they tell Jacob when he gets down there, Joseph's alive! Joseph's alive. He lives, he lives. How do I know he lives?
He's right here. Lives right here. I know that sounds cliche, but he does. He lives in all of his children. He lives in his whole body, all of his people. Huh? And oh, that's why this Jim said, why seek you the living among the dead? And look what else happens. In verse 26. And they said, Joseph's yet alive, and he's governor over all the land of Egypt. Oh, tell him he's exalted. He's somebody back there. He's got a throne. He's in control. He's got all the power over there. He's exalted. You thought he was dead. Now he's on his throne. Now he's in his glory. Now he's in his power. And oh my, to him God has given all power over all flesh. Over in verse 13, he says this to tell my father. He says, you tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. Tell all my glory and everything that you've seen. Oh my, what glory have we got to tell? What glory do we have to tell? Huh? And then look what he says in verse 9. He says, and tarry not. Last part of verse 9. Proclaim, come to me. Tell him to come down to me. Come to me. And don't tarry about it. Don't wait. Don't lollygag. Get up and get down here just as fast as you possibly can. And that's what we tell you. Get to Christ now. Come now. Right now. Don't think about it. Don't ponder it. Come to him. And do it now. You see, it's his family he's speaking to. And he has the power. And he's promised. Not only does he have the power, but he's promised that I'm going to take care of you. I promised I'm going to take care of you. Has he got the power to do it? Does he got the wealth to do it? Does he have the means to do it? Does he have the authority to do it? And the only one he's going to do it for is his family. Boy, I tell you, I'd want to get in that family. You ever been? When I was growing up, I'll tell you this quickly. When I was growing up, I lived in a lot of places, a lot of different people. And there was one family in particular down in Canton, North Carolina that I knew. And that was one of the most wonderful families I ever was around. They'd have the biggest old suppers every evening, and I'd go over and stay with them, and I'd just stay day after day after day. And they just took me in, made me one of them. And I wanted so much to be a part of that family. Oh, I'd love to have been a member of that family. Oh, what a glorious family that was. They'd sit around, pick their guitars, and sing songs. And they'd pray every night before they went to bed. And I mean, they was wonderful people. Just wonderful people. Everybody was so generous. And so, oh, the home was so nice, so wonderful, so loving. And I said, man, I'd love to be a member of this family. But I wasn't. But wouldn't you like to be a member of this family? I am in this one. Oh, bless his holy name. I'm a member of this one. And I got his name. I got his nature. He clothes me. He does everything for me. And feeds. You talk about them folks having a meal. Our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what a meal he sets. That in the middle of the table. Free grace. Everything else is on that, you know. Oh, my. Well, look what Jacob's reaction. Let me hurry. Jacob's reaction. Down here in verse 26. And I'm through. Jacob's reaction. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And watch this. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. That's the very first thing. God, I can't believe that. I just don't believe that. No, you fellas. No, his heart fainted. But now watch what it says there in verse 27. And here's the first thing they'd done. They told him all the words of Joseph. Told him everything Joseph said. And oh, it's the words of God. That's the power of God. It's the words that God uses. Now watch this now. And then when he saw the wagons, look what he's gave me. Look what he said to me. Look what he's provided for me. Then what does he say? In the last part of the verse, in 28, he said, and Israel said, it's enough. That's enough. My son is alive. My son is alive. And then he gives his brethren a warning. And I'd be remiss if I didn't do this. In verse 24, he gives them a solemn warning here. He says, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Oh, see that you fall not out. He told his brethren now. Left them with a message. Sent them with a message. Sent them with provision. Sent them with a promise. See that you fall not out. Don't you be like Judas. Don't you be a Demas. Don't even be like David. Don't do the things that David done. Don't do the things Simon Peter did. Don't fall out by the way. Have no confidence in the flesh. We are them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Lord.